The following podcast contains adult themes and adult language. Listener discretion advised.
And although we joke, if you or someone you know is affected by or a victim of domestic violence, dial 1-800-799-7233 or visit the National Domestic Violence Hotline's website, thehotline.org.
It's always the husband, it's always the husband, it's always the husband, I'm gonna keep it.
Hi everyone, this is Sarah.
Hi, it's Megan.
You are listening to It's Always the Husband podcast.
Thanks for listening.
Yes, thank you for listening. Thank you so much.
Welcome to 2021.
We made
Sarah.
It to 2021.
We sure did.
We lived.
I have a rash all over my body.
Right. We're not sure what it's from.
We are here.
Were you having relations in a dumpster with strange men?
The doctor kept asking me if I had been in hot tubs.
Oh, and I was like, I've been in hot tubs.
I know you have, but I have not. I was it's a pandemic. I've been in my house.
Nobody goes and does
with
anything.
With my children.
Nobody goes in hot tubs.
And she was like, so it wouldn't be bed bugs. I'm like, no, I haven't been anywhere.
No.
You guys, I have a rash over my entire body. It's either COVID related or stress related, but I'm itching the shit out of my skin until I bleed. And now I'm trying to do deep breathing meditations.
Terrible.
I can't believe this is happening to me.
No. I mean, it's probably some sort of weird COVID thing that's stress.
I'm sure it's like virus. Yeah. And my body, my immune system just can't keep it down. You know what else I can't believe is that we have more fucking Patreons.
I know. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable that we have more than one or two listeners because our moms would listen.
Our moms.
Or three and your sister would listen. My sister. Yeah. So there's four. Okay, the fact that we have over four is unbelievable. That's not related to us. But thank you so much for listening, and people spread the word and they say such nice things. And we have a Facebook group and they're so fun and they're nice and they message us and do wonderful reviews. We read them all. And thank you so much.
We talk about barium enemas. And
right. Yes. We do. With antifreeze. So we do have new patrons. We just want to mention Allison Short. We know her.
Isn't
that so nice? The nicest, kindest.
We got to get her some stickers.
I know. Kristen Thieling, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kristen.
Jamie Lynn, thank you, thank you, thank you. And M, she wants to go by M.
Okay.
And thank you so much for all of you and just joining Patreon and donating to our fool selves and helping us do this podcast every week is completely amazing. We're just shocked, and we're glad people like it, or at least we provide some sort of entertainment
it's
with their
crazy
foolishness.
We knew we entertained ourselves.
We entertained ourselves. We didn't realize other people would listen. We had the kindest one-time donation from Patreon, too, from Sarah Garcia, which I can't even believe. She donated, and we're
going to... I don't even know what to say.
I don't even know what to say. But we definitely can get fresh wires that aren't chewed on, hopefully.
Itch cream, hydrocortisone.
Yeah, and vag cream.
Monistat.
We're going to use it all on itch cream at Walgreens.
Pads.
Lots of big, thick pads. But thank you. Like, we have a list of things that it can go toward that's going to help us produce this podcast. And it's so incredible. We are wearing a pair of our very own hot glasses from my friend Gina in California, who sent us... I mean, Hexagon, even, like, the hottest glasses there are. Very, and we're wearing them currently. So we're going to wear them when we podcast.
And, every time.
And there is a pod hero You can listen on Pod Hero. It's a website and an app. Oh. And Carol Palmer donates to us through Pod Hero. So you can go on to Pod Hero and find us as well.
That's not Forensic Files, Carol.
No.
This is Carol Palmer.
Yeah, a different
She's
Carol.
Sweet ass Carol.
There's also a site called Good Pods, which where it's not an ad or anything, but it's kind of like Good Reads, where you can go and like click your favorite podcast and then share them with your friends if you're all on it. And that, I think, just started this year. But it's actually
we just downloaded it this summer, didn't we? Yeah.
It's actually kind of a good site. So you can go with all your friends there and share. If you share books like on Goodreads, it's the same kind of thing. So we're on that, too.
So you can see our top nerd picks for
our nerdy podcasts, the ones we like and stuff, too. Yeah, there's a lot of good ones out there.
Dolly Parton's America.
Oh, Dolly. She is
fucking love her.
A hero. My
she
God.
Is.
So thank you. Again, you can follow us on social media. We have an Etsy shop if you want some of our stickers. And you can explain to people why you have a He-Man wig sticker on your computer. And people will be like, oh, geez.
Oh,
and then step away. They'll step away.
Backwards. Do a Sarah exit of a party.
Look at your watch and just slowly backwards exit.
Back your ass on
That's
out.
What I like to do.
So if you also, you can join our Facebook group and we will post our picture of our hot glasses.
Yes, we will.
So wait.
They are hot.
Wait
we'll put
for
them
that.
On. Yeah. Oh, and I wanted to tell you, thank you. You gave me that Christmas present of the stuff to put on the stove.
Yes.
We did that and it was the best smelling shit.
I know.
Like cinnamon and orange and cranberries. Yeah. My God, that smells so good. We're going to buy that. I'm going to buy that all the time and do it.
No. But,
yeah.
You can. I'll make you some. Yeah. Eloise and I made those. And thank you for the Dolly Parton words of wisdom. And
well,
the
there
candle.
Were two books and they were both called the same thing. So I thought they were the same, but they're not. It's weird.
Oh, no. Oh. I put them right on, in my home office so that I can read a Dolly word of wisdom every morning to just get myself in the mood to do our secret job. And then
it's unfortunate
because I need her inspiration. And then the candle smells so fucking good. I'm not even kidding you. I put it in my office again and I lit it the other day. Oh, I was cleaning frantically my house because it like Kat, we talked with listener Kat about how horrible our houses are, how horribly filthy.
Yeah.
So I did go on a
Child
rampage.
Services
yes.
Will come. Yeah.
Trying to clean in order not to itch my skin off. And I lit that candle and I was like, holy
shit.
Oh,
well, that's
that
good. I had no idea.
It's like limey kind of citrus. Oh my God. It smells amazing. I love it. So, and I love you. Thank you. Merry Christmas.
You're welcome. Merry Christmas.
And a Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Thank God. But it's still shitty. So not much has changed yet. I'm still hoping. All right.
Get our fingers crossed.
We are going to bring to you today a Forensic Files that's batshit nuts.
It really was.
Where you watch it and you think it can't really get much worse. And then it does.
It keeps
and
getting
then it
worse.
Does. And then it does. I don't understand. I can't even.
No.
No. You won't understand. It's fucked in the head. Everyone involved is fucked in the head. It's fucked in the head. For sure. But, so this episode of Forensic Files was season 2, episode 4 that
Good
we write
job.
Down and then I always forget to put in our show notes. So I'm sorry. We
Good
just
job.
Always watch them on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's called Medical Detective still on YouTube, even though that name lasted like one
Isn't that
show.
Weird? Yeah.
And the fuckers can't change it to Forensic Files. It's called Sex, Lies, and DNA, which is pretty much an example of, I mean, pretty much the whole show.
It really is. Yeah.
It's back in a great year that we've already covered, of course, because murders are constant and never stop. 1989, but anything in the 80s, I think, is golden.
Yeah.
Those are times where you just wish nothing ever progressed. I kind of wish it was still 80s, like no cell phones.
Yeah.
Really no internet. I don't fucking care. I mean, it's life is so convenient. I text, you know, I can text you 800 times instead of call you on my rotary dial and wait for you to answer.
Yeah.
But geez, just life was easier.
It was.
Yeah. Three channels. Wait, I did have cable. You had three channels because of your
unfortunate lot
unfortunate
in life.
True growing up in a small town.
Growing up in a town of 700 on a farm.
Jeez. This, yeah, ridiculous episode we'll get to, but 1989. Again, I was ninth grade, so I was, it was junior high. Our high school was 10, 11, 12. And I'm going to stop and mention a show that I don't think I've talked about, but I've had pictures of on our social media. The best show ever made, ever made. And you cannot find it anywhere to stream. And it's maddening. My daughter knows all of my Three's Company and Mama's Family. I've introduced that to all of my loves from my childhood. But this show you can't find. And it's called You Can't Do That on Television. This Canadian show from Ontario was the greatest show that ever was. It was from 1979 to 1990. So the last years of it were 1989. My sister and I watched it 800 every day. And then it was in reruns until 1994. And then it fucking disappeared. It has never been seen again by anybody. There's maybe some YouTube clips, whatever. This show was everything. Everything. There was the hottie Alistair Gillis, who everyone loved. It's a show like kids were. It's just skits with kids. That's like where you get slimed.
Was it on
when you say
cable?
I don't know? It was on Nickelodeon. And then when you said water, they had water dumped on their head. And then it was like Barth, the chef who went. I die. Heard that?
What?
And then the drunken slob dad who always says, "Don't encourage your mother." No, people know what I mean.
I don't know.
The best show ever, and you cannot find it anywhere. It disappeared. Canada, why do you do this? Why don't you allow it to be streamed? Why don't you allow You Can't Do That on Television to be on DVD? Why? I'm very upset.
Alistair
Gillis, the cutest boy ever was. Alanis Morissette was on the show for years.
What?
There was Christine and Lisa. I mean,
It was like a game show?
No, it's like a comedy sketch show with kids.
Hmm.
It was on for, I mean, forever. The best show ever.
I didn't have the cable.
Oh, so. Every kid who had cable knows this show. That's why they slime people on the dumb Kids' Choice Awards. Because of this? Yeah.
Huh.
But I don't know. I don't know why people my age and older would buy every season and buy it. Come on. Oh, anyway, please, if someone out there can do something, please help.
Let's start a GoFundMe.
Yeah.
For
you can't do. Yeah, you can't do that on television to DVD or even on Amazon where you can fucking buy them. Anyway,
that's how I feel about Ed the Bowling Alley Lawyer.
I know Ed the Bowling Alley Lawyer. You're like, you can't. Either. I know. Why do they do that? Jeez. In 1989, the Babysitter's Club books started. I did not read them because I was
a little too old.
Yeah, Sweet Valley Twins was kind of my thing, and Encyclopedia Brown.
I did read the Babysitter Clubs because my younger sister had them all, and so I would read them.
Yeah, I mean, because what else was there to do?
Yeah. Well, yeah, when you have three
channels,
I read a lot. Right.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Are you a huge cunt?
Us too.
Wait, can we even say cunt?
Of course. It's empowering these days. Cunt, 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 cunt. I'm Ange Balasone, a.k.a. the drag queen, Fat Girl Gina.
And I'm Mike Fales, just a normal gay guy, I guess?
And we're the hosts of The Big Cunty Couch.
A gorgeous new talk show podcast where we invite queers and peers to sit bitch and be fierce on a huge-ass couch.
While we gab about all things gay.
So come get cozy.
And cunty.
With us. We're pan for platforms, so find us anywhere online and get listening, sweetie.
Or watching.
Or both.
Otherwise, why the hell am I in full drag?
And we'll see you on The Big Oh, wait. I thought we were going to say that together.
No. On The Big Cunty Couch. Mwah.
1989 was also started kind of the sequel thing for movies, which is shitty. Sometimes a movie can just be good and you don't have to have 800 sequels to ruin it.
Yeah.
Just to make money. Don't do that.
No.
We didn't need, well, Lethal Weapon 2. Do we need that? No. But then we have a Lethal Weapon like 3 and 4. Do we need that? No, we didn't need it.
I don't think it seen any of the sequels.
Back to the Future 2, we didn't need that. It was perfect, a perfect film, Back to the Future. Perfect.
What did they do in 2? They went
to the future, and that's where like Biff found that one sports thing, and he made money because he bet on all the games and won. I don't know. Yeah. Stupid and dumb. Ghostbusters 2, we didn't need that.
No. We definitely
Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, the first Indiana Jones, again, perfect movie. Mm-hmm. Perfect. You just, I don't know.
You know what I'm glad they didn't ruin?
What?
Overboard.
They made it.
But then they made a reenactment that they ruined. But yeah,
they didn't do an Overboard 2. They didn't do that would have been hell.
And thank God.
Overboard is the perfect movie.
It's the perfect
movie. It should have never been touched again. Those fuckers.
That's one of the things that bonded us together. Do you remember?
The love of Overboard.
I had it on my Facebook profile and you wrote me a note and said, I see that you love that classic movie Overboard. And I knew you were my person right there. Like we had just become Facebook friends. I know.
There is no better movie than Overboard.
No.
Batman. With Michael Keaton was actually pretty good.
That one was good. I loved it.
Right. It was really good with Jack Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson was amazing.
Was really good. He was having a lot of fun with that role. Prince,
your husband.
Husband loves Prince, so he loves the Batman Prince soundtrack.
Yeah.
Little Mermaid was just
great.
Oh, yeah. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. I don't know. That was okay.
Yeah, I think people liked it. I think people liked it.
The term freshman 15 was started by 17 magazine when it was actually they found people just gained about 5 pounds their freshman year. But why did we even have to start that term? Just saying you get to be a fat ass. Girls get to be a fat ass when they go to college. It's true, but we don't need to make it a term.
It's horrifically sexist.
Yes. In 17 magazine for teens.
Fuck you,
17. Telling them they're going to be a big fat ass when they get to college.
Don't tell me not to eat my sausage and mushroom pizza at midnight.
Well, that's all you can afford. It's pizza and ramen that's terribly salty, and so you get bloated. I mean, what are they thinking?
And you are drinking heavily. Binge drinking. At least 3 nights a week. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
I really never drank a lot until I got to be like 35.
Stop.
No.
You didn't grow up on the farm. I'm telling you, city kids are different than country kids.
I mean, city kids were drunken assholes too, but I just wasn't.
You didn't have gravel roads though to just drive.
I mean, we had nowhere to go. Yeah, you always had someone's house. Yeah. I mean, there was just always somebody. What are some songs from 1989?
89 song. The two longest running number one singles of 89 were "Miss You Much" by Janet Jackson.
Janet.
And this one might surprise you. It's just another day for you and me in paradise. Phil Collins.
Phil Collins.
Yep.
He's talented.
But this was a year of, there was some heavy metal hair bands.
Of course.
And there was a little Madonna, a little rap. And then just some weird shit like Love Shack from the B-52s. Richard Marx hit it big with Right Here Waiting.
Oh, Richard Marx.
One of my favorites, Bust a Move.
Yeah.
By Young MC.
You can't go wrong with that one.
No, I thought he was really cute too. I liked him. Debbie Gibson was kind of at the end of her reign, but she had... I get lost.
Oh,
in your eyes.
That's one of her best.
Yeah,
and her perfume. What was her perfume? Everybody had Debbie Gibson's perfume.
I think
perfume.
It just
no
Electric Youth. Yes! Electric Youth.
Yeah, everybody had it. And it stink like butthole. Hey, you smell like rancid butthole. Are you wearing Electric Youth?
I got it at Shopko. Thanks.
Yep. Oh,
and it came in a tube. Yeah, a glass tube.
Yeah, it had like
it was pink. Yeah, there was a swirl in it.
Oh my God, everybody had that shit.
Cassie Nutbar had it.
Yeah,
she was a real.
She probably
fan.
Sprayed it right in her pits. I bet it probably burned like acid.
She was like, "I like it.
I like it a lot."
Oh. And Wild Thing, Sarah. Oh,
yeah.
She loves to do the wild thing.
Gross. Oh, no,
disgusting.
She doesn't.
Disgusting.
No, she doesn't, sir.
Oh, my God. Get on Your Feet by Gloria Estefan.
Oh, she's good, too.
Nothing is funnier than that song playing during Parks and Rec. If you have not Googled, if you haven't watched Parks and Rec, go find that episode or just Google it and find Get on Your Feet, Parks and Rec.
Right, I'm going to do it.
You later. Will die. Yeah, you'll die. Yep. So that's 1989.
A great year. Mm-hmm. I mean, really good. Really good. The fashion was fucked.
Yeah.
Hideous. And then it goes right into 90s fashion. That's the, I think, the worst.
Everybody's
even worse than
poor
80s.
Hair.
I mean,
oh
the
my
hair
God.
Is terrible.
Do you know what other song was 89? Melanie's Karaoke, Black Velvet.
Oh,
did we
God.
Talk about that already? Yeah.
Horn. The long vagina.
Oh, Horn, who's long in the lip, loves to sing Black Velvet. When we used to have karaoke.
When we go out and see people and do things. Oh, shit. All right. So Sex, Lies, and DNA. This, you found this episode.
I did. I do a little work once in a while.
This one was
I've been trying not to itch. It was a good find.
A really good find. We have the couple Ruby Morris and Earl. Mm-hmm. God, Earl Morris. Ruby and Earl.
You know you're doomed with those
names. Yeah. They're married. They're also business partners. At the point of our story, they have three grown adult children who are fucked because they show pictures of them. And I will describe them. They show a picture of Ruby and Earl, and it's kind of the same picture they show repeatedly. So I have a feeling they didn't really have a lot of pictures for them to use. Ruby, bless her heart, has helmet hair.
Like, and she looked 72
when she was 30,
and Earl looked like he was 55 his whole entire
like he didn't really look different. He looked 55 and 20 and he looked 55,
but she looked very old. It was kind of like, remember Pearl?
What's
her
hairdo? It's her hair. She has the helmet old lady hair, like Rose from the Golden Girls, or like Dolly Parton Bouffant type hair.
Yeah, it was, but like it looked, a short Dolly in the 70s,
but you look 90 with that hairstyle. Yeah. Earl had hot glasses.
Yeah, he did. I wrote it down.
The famous hot glasses, really. Yep. He had a bolo tie and a red silk shirt in this picture. What in the hell? Oh. Then they show their children. The first child that we do hear from, Cindy.
Cindy?
Well, we don't see Cindy, but we hear Cindy's quotes. We see his friend, Cindy. There's two Cindys. In
I thought
the other, the Cindy was not the daughter that they show.
Okay, the Cindy friend looks like Jenny from Forrest Gump.
Oh my God, I wrote it looks like Buttercup from The Princess Bride.
Shut up.
The same fucking actress.
It's Robin Wright.
Yes. I wrote, she's an ugly methy Buttercup from The Princess Bride.
I wrote Jenny.
So Robin Wright. Yeah. She did. Oh no.
Oh my God, I love us.
Oh. You're ugly methy Buttercup. I was mean. Oh. But terrible.
This is like what we both thought.
I know. Herman Munster.
Herman Munster.
I know. My God. So did, hopefully to other people.
But
she looks
for
like Robin
who the fuck was this Cindy? I don't know. But thanks for being on.
There was a
advice.
Daughter, Cindy. Yeah. And I said the first picture they showed of her, because they showed bonkers pictures after, she looked like a weird Princess Diana clone. I wrote. They showed a quick picture. Then they show the son who looks exactly like Jeffrey Dahmer.
Oh, my
like
God.
Like a molester serial killer. They just showed one quick flash of him. Total, you would think this guy's a serial killer and he molests.
His hair was
groundhogs.
Like Jeffrey Dahmer. I wrote Cindy. I thought Cindy had the really blonde hair.
She did, but the first picture she looked like Princess Diana hair. And then they show her with like the Twisted Sister
Slayer.
Hair.
I wrote Megadeth.
I wrote
Slayer.
Sister. But then the third daughter that was the country singer, I wrote Apollonia.
Yeah.
Or a Dance Fever dancer, I said.
Yeah, something like that. She was more coiffed.
Yeah, and but man, it was
rhinestone.
Apollonia. She looked very Apollonia like from Purple Rain.
Yeah.
The Morrises were both accountants and had an office in a really ugly, horribly depressing looking strip mall. But I guess they were really successful because they were millionaires.
Right. And they had a beautiful home
in Phoenix,
in the middle of
gorgeous
nowhere, really.
Phoenix
yeah.
house in the middle of the desert yeah. in the mountains, but the middle of nowhere was beautiful. June 4th, 1989, when the shit hit, well, the shit was hitting the fan the whole lives
oh
of
my
Ruby,
God,
really.
Ruby.
Lots of shit hit the fan June 4th. Earl was going to California because Donna Kay, the third daughter that looks like Apollonia. is a country singer. Mm-hmm. I guess she was semi-successful. I feel like she maybe wasn't.
They said
ships.
She was an up-and-comer.
She was an up-and-comer and then went to down in the shitter, I guess. I don't know. Maybe she, who knows? Maybe she works at casinos.
Well, after all this bullshit, yeah, she probably just hid away and was like, fuck
for
everything.
Sure. Yeah. Well, for sure. Good God. Ruby did not go to California to see her daughter sing. She stayed so she could go shopping with Cindy.
With Slayer.
This is where they show Cindy again, and she does. Yep. She looks like the lead singer from Twisted Sister, Dee Schneider.
But
Slayer.
Blonde.
He did too. Yep. He had big white permed blonde hair.
Oh, he did. Oh, yeah, he did.
And we see a picture of Ruby again with enormous shellacked helmet hair.
Mm-hmm.
And. Yeah.
Like wig? Do you think it was a wig?
I for sure thought it was a wig.
Yeah.
It was terrible, kind of askew in some pictures, too. Terrible. Ruby, though, never shows up to Cindy's house that Sunday to go furniture shopping. And that is unusual because Cindy said that Ruby just always showed up or she would call or she was pretty responsible.
And, yeah. And she was like meticulous. Right. So she like.
Right. She would just blow off something.
Yeah.
If you didn't show up, we'd be like, well, you
right.
know, whatever.
Like,
okay.
Oh, she got diarrhea.
Right. She's shitting.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. Cindy is alarmed because, like you said, her mom is pretty on the ball.
Mm-hmm.
She goes to the Phoenix home to check on her mom. And it's very because it was very odd for her just not to call. So the purse is gone. She notices that her mom's purse is gone.
But where's the mascara, Sarah?
If it was in there. I don't even know if she wore mascara.
Did anyone? Oh, yeah, she did. Or she had tattooed eyeliner or something. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, remember? She should have checked for mascara right away.
The security alarm was off.
Weird.
Which is weird. Her car was in the garage. Did you notice this car park job in the garage? I stopped and even had Jamie
they
come in.
They said it was
Jamie didn't
weird.
Think that was funny.
Yeah.
No, her car is one of those like a Thunderbird that's like, I took my first driver's test in a 89 Bonneville.
Yeah.
So that car is as long as my house.
Yeah.
Like the trunk could fit 17 people.
Yeah.
The front is 32 feet long. So you have to parallel park and take a driver's test in this car.
Yeah.
I failed terribly.
Yeah.
Oh. Anyway. Her car was like this, 19,000 feet long. It was parked up to the wall, like it was maybe 1 centimeter from the wall. But then the husband put a tennis ball so that she went smash into the... Guess who else has a tennis ball in the garage? Me! Because Jamie thinks I'm going to smash into stuff, which I haven't... Well, maybe I have. No, I don't think I've smashed. I've smashed coming out of the garage multiple times.
Yeah, me too.
Like I've smashed my side mirror into the side of the garage.
When I ran
constantly.
Into my ex-husband's
and your current husband's car.
Parked. Oh, yeah. I did that twice. Oh, fuck.
So, yeah, I'm bad at backing out. But, yeah, I have the tennis ball, too, because husbands can't. They don't think their wives
They're
can park.
They're just so fucking micromanaging.
I know. Men have to micromanage every fucking part of your day.
But they won't fucking do a thing to help
fuck
you.
No.
That's what they think is help.
Yeah.
What about cleaning out the fucking refrigerator? What about, like my husband
Jamie
said.
Jamie did just do that. And then told me that I was making it dirty.
Oh, well, Phil.
And offered the advice to me how to put things in so it wouldn't be dirty.
Phil told me he opened the freezer yesterday because, you know, he loves fitness and he drinks smoothies. And so they were out of smoothie fruit at Super Target.
Of course.
And so I had gone on my own to get something and I bought him some because they had some there. And then he, on his way home, bought himself some too. So there were like 1,000 smoothie fruits.
Yeah.
in the freezer, and he's like, this freezer is like a microcosm for our lives.
And I was like, fuck off. I just spent 3 days top to bottom cleaning this house. And you're saying, like, why don't you clean it? I said, well, you can clean it out instead of watching your fucking football or working out for 9 hours.
Nope. Clean it then, Dick.
Yeah. He looked at me with contempt.
Yeah.
And I just took another drink.
Right. Fuck you. But then mine did clean it. So now I can't say anything for a while.
Oh, good job, James.
But he does like to mansplain on how to keep it clean.
You can shut your mouth.
Yeah. Anyway, the ball was there garage. It was not parked in her usual spot, though, which is weird to Cindy. Daughter goes in. Daughter Cindy goes in the house. There are dirty clothes in the washer, which was an unusual, I guess. In my house, it'd be like, they're always in there until they stink so bad you have to wash them again because you didn't take them and put them in the dryer. My husband does all the time. Like, you know, you have clothes in the wash.
Oh my
like,
God.
For 17
Sarah,
days.
I hate that smell so bad. I can't stand. You know how I hate smells.
I forget because of my brain. I forget because my AD, forget all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I made cookies and Jamie came and said, are you doing something right now? I was doing podcast stuff. And I'm like, just podcast stuff. He's like, no, is there something you were doing like right now? And I said, no. I said, nothing you can remember that you're doing? And the cookies were burning in the oven. I totally forgot. It was just like, you were cooking and you totally forgot. And I said, oh my God, I did. I mean, he took them out though and saved them. So thank you that he saved the day on that one. The carpet cleaner was out, which is always bad. When a man has a carpet cleaner out, we know what that means because those bastards don't touch it.
No.
They don't even know where it is, what it is, how to turn it on. If it's out, yeah.
But of course he fucking left it out because he can't put it back.
Shit.
Yeah,
he
he's like, hey, can you help me put this back? Oh.
I don't know how she noticed this, but the gun was gone as well. How do you notice
that
the gun? What are you doing? Anyway. So Cindy Morris, the daughter, calls the police. She's very disturbed. Her mom's gone. The house is askew. She calls the police. The police pretty much right away was just like, well, she's out. You know, who cares? You know, that, like she missed.
Yeah, the sergeant was like, we'll find her in a couple hours.
Yeah, she's out shopping.
What?
You know,
Dick.
She called her dad, and that was the intro scene with Earl, reenactment Earl, on the phone.
Reenactment
what?
Earl
I
was
come
a
home.
Dumbass.
I'm heading home.
Yeah.
Where is your mom?
Yeah. Where is your mom? Earl comes home from California. He's interviewed by the police. They ask about his relationship. He just says it's pretty much normal. You know, they have their ups and downs. It's a normal relationship.
But they're millionaires living in a beautiful house in the mountains.
Right.
I mean, that's whatever.
He did confirm that the pistol appears to be gone with no
real 22 caliber
explanation for it. Earl then comes up with this other weird ass story that his car broke down on the way home from California. So that's why he has a rental car currently, which is fucked. That's weird. Actually, that would be a weird coincidence that any police officer would right away be like, oh, shit, you know, they pay attention to that. Detectives then go to the rented car and they notice something suspicious. So they open the trunk and this dumb bastard has a suitcase in the trunk, which is fine. But he still has an airline fucking tag on it from that day or a few days before. It is a recent flight from San Diego to Phoenix. So clearly he was in San Diego and flew home to Phoenix.
Yeah.
And flew back and rented this car. So his car is probably still in San Diego somewhere. They're wondering why he was on a plane when he says he's driving. So his story is not already fucked. His story doesn't make any kind of sense.
They even checked the manifest from the flight and there was no Earl Morris, but there was a G. Norris.
There was a G. Norris. He's very clever with his
That would be
pseudonym.
Like if I went an M. McDermott to a E. Nick Dermott.
Could this E. Nick Dermott be her?
I wonder.
I don't
if
know.
Nick Dermott is her.
What's even better though is they sent a bunch of photos to the airline and had on that flight they had the flight attendants look and see. Did any of these men ride that certain flight?
Which I was thinking, like, there's
no way
that no any way. Flight attendant, I mean, how
would
many
pay
flights
attention.
Do they
right.
have to do
constant,
a
daily?
Day? Yeah.
They right away picked out Earl because they said his toupee was so bad that he stood out. San Diego to Phoenix is probably an hour flight, if that, like 45 minutes. And he stood out on that quick of a flight because his toupee was so rotten.
He had a horrid toupee.
Was it like a beaver butthole on his head? Just like the butthole part in the tail? Like, sir, that is a taxidermied beaver, not a toupee. Are you on meth? Oh, sir, why do you have a squirrel, a dead squirrel spread out on your head? It's or it's alive. It's pissing, sir. It's pissing. Oh, no, sir. Terrible. And they show him with the toupee that he apparently wore all the time because the toupee was on the whole time, yeah. All the time.
He had horrible under hair for a toupee, too, because it was like a little curly and not well
it's
cut.
It's like from Christmas Vacation.
Yes. It looked like the old
Grandpa. Uncle Louis.
Yes.
Where it just doesn't even match.
No.
Oh. So if you're so extremely unfortunate, flight attendants remember you.
Yeah.
Oh, embarrassing.
Take care of your fucking toupees. I just cried a little bit.
Yeah. What the hell?
Oh, God.
Detectives then find, like, okay, we got to go search the Morris home. This is already just the story. Fucked.
What made me happy was that right away, they didn't fuck around. They weren't like, oh, it's a weird intruder who came out to the mountains in the middle of nowhere. Like, I was like, thank God they didn't waste.
Right. She ran away with her boyfriend.
Yeah.
No, she didn't.
No. Yeah. They went for Earl right away.
Right. Luminol saves the day in a lot of our episodes we're going to talk about.
Every time they use Luminol, they always have to explain it.
Right.
Over and over.
What like, it is. Yes.
I guess.
Everybody who watches crime shows knows what Luminol is.
They're like, when you spray it and put a black light over it, it detects the presence of blood. Yeah, we know.
Get close. They found, though, when they sprayed Luminol in the bedroom, that the headboard lit up, which was a fine mist,
and
which means
they,
gunshot.
Yes,
yeah, they always say fine mist
too.
Means high velocity
high
blood
velocity
splatter.
Is a gun.
Right. So he got shot. The mattress was also bloody with Luminol. The shower stall was filled with blood.
Again, both of those things could be common at our house with
right.
our periods,
yes.
but... This looks like a lot.
This looked like an exceptional amount.
Yeah.
And blood stayed in pools and splatters, even in the shower. Water is not washing these proteins down. You need
and
to
it was on
bleach
the patio,
it.
Too.
The patio, the carpet. They said it was a very violent crime scene, and they're just assuming whoever was here is currently
but
dead.
But then that one guy said, well, maybe we don't have a death, but could be. What? I'm like, yeah, you do.
There's blood everywhere,
high
you dumbass.
High velocity blood spatter.
Yes.
And
she was shot.
Yep, I do think she's dead.
So they wanted to run DNA on the blood. All right. So to find Ruby's DNA, which they did not have on file.
Now this is where it gets
this
fucked.
Is where you think it can't even
and I am
get worse
sorry
than
about
already
it
is.
Yeah.
This is a terrible, I mean, just terrible.
Ugh.
They have to use her children because half of her DNA is in her children. They're going to use her children and Earl's blood to try to get Ruby's blood separated so they can find Ruby's DNA compared to her, you know, and use her children and her husband. When they compare the blood to the children's blood, they find a matching band. So two of the children that they, like the serial killer son and twisted sister daughter, their blood matched the blood found in the bedroom. So they think, okay, that's probably Rudy. Ruby, not Rudy. The football player Rudy was killed. But then they come because he was such a dumbass. Nobody liked him.
One fucking play of football.
Got one play,
and he got a movie.
Yeah, way to go, dick. Oh, yeah. Think you're special. You were a loser the whole time.
You barely made it through Notre Dame.
Jeez. Earl, though, when compared to the children, did not match. Earl was not the father of serial killer and Twisted Sister, which was shocking. All right. So these two children do not, their father is not their father. They had Ruby's parents as well.
And Ruby's brother.
To help singularize, is that a word? Singular?
I don't think so, but yeah.
Her DNA.
Help single out?
Maybe. Her? That's what I'm trying to say. They realized that Ruby's father is the father of her two children.
I was appalled.
I can't. Even so,
and it said, made me almost like want feel so sad that I didn't even want to do this episode.
Because I know, because like, it's just
oh
so
my God, the pain that she went through, and then
her whole childhood dealing with this fucker.
Yeah,
she had two of his children,
and then had to take care of them,
and yeah, and raise them, and she did a. I mean,
and she was like successful and a millionaire,
right? She was Ruby. Very successful and had a career, held it together. Ruby's father, Clyde Williams, his name was. Clyde. Have you ever met a Clyde that wasn't a huge dick? No.
I don't know if I've ever met a Clyde.
I don't think I've either, but every Clyde is always an asshole.
And thank God they arrested him right away. Yeah.
Yeah. He said the sexual relationship with Ruby started when she was just 15. I feel it maybe was earlier than that.
She
I
had
feel
the
at
baby
15, the baby. Yes.
When she was 15.
And it started way before that. He was arrested for incest right away. Thank
but then
God.
I was like, thank God he's 100. I'm glad he's now 100 and you finally fucking arrest
he's
him.
He's been a creep his whole life. What a fucking dick. They show a picture, like I said, again, of daughter Cindy, who, again, seems to be normal and functioning, really. Yeah. And this is where her hair is so high to the heavens.
Yeah.
How, like, there and had permed. To be gel. It was permed. Oh. How do you get the hair to stand
and
straight
bleached.
Up and bleached?
A lot of Aquanet and some hair blow drying.
I suppose.
Situation.
It was to the sky. The children admit that their mother had been depressed lately. Well, I mean, she
really?
Probably with her whole goddamn life.
Really?
Jesus. But then she also learns, I mean, just when she gets kicked in the vagina and then set on fire with bad news her whole life. And then kicked in the head and then hit in the head with a mace.
And then shot in
and
the
then
head.
Maced with mace liquid and then shot in the head and kicked in the butthole. She finds out that her husband, Earl, who is a dill hole, has been having an affair with her goddamn own sister, Peggy.
No. This is when it was so bad for me.
How can it get
so
worse?
Bad. This
well,
is
it does.
It does get worse, but this is when I texted you like, holy fuck, this episode.
Keeps getting worse.
Yeah.
Peggy, her own sister, is sleeping with Earl, and Earl had been going to San Diego and visiting her. Or no, Peggy lived in like
Louisiana.
Something dumb, but they would go away on trips.
Someplace dumb.
Louisiana is a dumb. I actually enjoy it. I've been there.
Ruby and Slayer actually caught them at the airport together.
On one, going Phoenix. Away on one of their trips.
Like, there's my husband. There's my fucking bitch sister.
With my husband going away together.
I would be like, you can have him.
I would, too. I'd be like, just take him,
have
please.
Fun.
Bye.
Jesus, I'll take the house in
sucks.
The mountains.
Yeah.
He wears
sucks,
bolo
and
ties.
And his toupee is fucked.
His toupee
he takes his pubes and just glues it to his head. It's pretty
bye.
Much.
Yeah.
Ugh. Ruby confronts Earl about the affair, but he just pretty much refuses to end it, says, whatever, fucking bitch,
just
I don't
like,
care.
We're going to stay married, and I'm going to keep fucking your sister.
Yeah. And keep gluing my pubes to my head, because nobody seems to notice it's odd.
Nobody but the flight attendants.
Police
care.
Suspect Peggy as well as being involved in this mysterious, bloody bedroom missing Ruby. Peggy admits, though, that she was going to meet Earl in San Diego, but she just couldn't get away. So Earl ended up going to San Diego by himself. They check the police go to San Diego, they find the car at the airport, was it?
Yeah, in the parking lot of the airport.
They are smart enough to right away luminol the car and they find pools of blood on the passenger side.
Yeah.
And this is where I was like, I can't even. What he did.
Because you start right now, you're formulating.
Yeah, what he did.
Oh my God. And there was so much
blood.
I need more prosecco for this.
Oh, there was so much blood in the passenger side. This is where they finally said anyone who's lost this much blood has to be dead.
Oh, you think?
Or the blood all over the whole living room outside in the bedroom. Nobody has that much blood.
The carpet?
Oh.
Is a giant?
When they tested it, it was also Ruby's blood. And they thought, why did he bring a dead body to San Diego? The police, that's the question they asked.
This is so bad.
Earl had a boat at the San Diego Marina. And they show that he was on his boat with records on June 5th.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get to what he did with the car. When police went to search the boat, they find that the boat is just totally missing. The boat's gone. The boat's totally disappeared. They call the Coast Guard to help. So the Coast Guard come in to try to save the day. They tell the police that, well, on June 5th, a mysterious boat fire burned and sank right out 13 miles out in the ocean. By the time we got there, it was burning. And they had actual film of the burning boat sinking.
Pretty weird, because it burned from the center out. That doesn't usually happen. Usually it starts where the motor is, but this one burned from the center out.
Right? And they showed it sinking on fire, and you know what was burning in there.
Yeah,
and
you do.
Yeah. Oh. Earl is arrested.
And then, he had rented a boat, right?
Yes, he did. This is what prosecutors felt happened, though, the whole story. So Earl gets up early before Ruby on June 4th or 3rd, even.
He set his fucking alarm.
Right. Shoots her in the head, which we'll learn twice. Washes her in the shower.
Takes her clothes off.
Washes her in the shower. Then dresses her in the ugliest jogging suit I've ever seen. It's like a pant, but then that was reenactment. Carol.
But they Forensic said Files he Carol chose... as the body.
They dress her and he dressed her in a fucking jogging suit.
Yeah.
Because
it's easier to get the elastic
Puts
waistband.
Her in a baseball cap to cover the huge gouge hole in her head.
Bullet hole.
So poor Ruby, with her helmet hairs all squished down in a baseball hat. She wouldn't have wanted that. His car had no trunk.
He had an El Camino.
He had an El Camino. With a toupee and an El Camino, he was must just There's been a,
yeah.
hitting off women with yeah. a stick.
I would chase that shit down.
He put her in the passenger side like a passenger.
He fucking Weekend at Bernie'd her.
Yes, and drove on the highway with a dead body. 400 miles with a dead body, releasing fluids and rotting in your dead wife.
Your wife that you just shot is
my God.
In the passenger side.
He actually drives, with a corpse to San Diego. He stopped for gas.
Yeah. Yep.
No one notices that there's a dead, rotting body in the front seat. I mean, what in the hell?
No.
Did he go get her a pop, too, and put it in her hand? I mean, just pretend? Of course, they had Forensic Files Carol in the passenger seat acting as the dead Ruby, and she had the terrible wig
with
on.
With her horrible askew
wig, hat, terrible jogging
pink,
suit that's a... Yeah.
Like a Granimals with for the, kids, but for adults.
With, a big bloody... Mm-hmm. mark on her head, pretending to be dead, with the dead face right on the window.
Smashed it.
Right. Good grief. He goes to the marina and in broad fucking daylight.
Yeah, he had big balls.
Carries her dead, bloody body and dumps it in the boat, throws it into the boat.
Like, who's going to think, here's this 55-year-old man carrying a 75-year-old woman in a bloody pink jumpsuit.
With that hat smushing her helmet hair.
This is normal?
Is she drunk?
Yeah.
Why is she cold?
He's going to take her on this dead woman on a romantic...
Right. And just rape the shit out of her corpse? What is he planning? God, he sucks.
The dock walkers were not on point.
No, they weren't, to get his attention.
In San Diego.
No, they weren't. They're lazy.
They were not keeping their wits.
Also
about.
Brings the bloody ass sheets from the bed, carrying them just to the boat, like not a care in the world. And the gun in his hand.
Yeah.
Who is not noticing this?
I don't know.
He rented a tiny little baby boat to attach to this boat, drives 13 miles offshore, puts gasoline or whatever all over the body of his wife, mother of one of his children.
Yeah.
And then throws a lantern on it. Why not just start it with a, like, throw a man? Why did he get a big old timey lantern? Yeah.
The kerosene?
Right, maybe.
Yeah.
What an asshole. During his trial, he decides he's pretty much fucked, so he's going to come up with a more fucked story, thinking he's smarter than the prosecutors
he
and
took
the jury.
He took the stand. He
yes,
was on
which
the
you
stand.
Never
need, nope.
You never do it.
Nope.
Never do it. He admits that he was on the boat. He admits that Ruby's body was on the boat. He admits to setting the boat on fire and having the boat sink to the bottom.
Yeah.
But what he says is that he found Ruby dead, that she had committed suicide. And he did not want anyone else to know that she committed suicide. So he decides to burn her corpse.
Yeah. He thought that people would blame him.
Right.
And so
I'm going to take your mom and just burn her body instead.
They're
going to
blame
instead
you.
Of giving her a grave.
You fucking burnied her all the way to San Diego.
No fucking lunatic then cleans up all her blood. No, that's an idiot story. You cleaned
died,
it all up?
Yeah. She died by suicide of guilt and depression. Guilt because of her children's father and depression because of my affair. Like, yeah.
Yeah, she probably was super
off.
Depressed because her life sucks.
Why are you helping her?
Yeah, my God. If she did commit suicide, she probably didn't want to be burned in a car and then burned in a boat and now at the bottom of the ocean.
He is a liar, too.
What a dumb fool.
Oh, and then he had told officers that the gunshot, her self-inflicted wound, was on the left side. In her left temple. Well, she was right-handed, and so
you're not going to put your hand all the way around your head to the other side,
and it
pull
was
the
apparently a long barrel shotgun, whatever
it went. Yeah, so it went to her hand went to reach, and there was two shots. You don't shoot yourself twice in the head to commit suicide.
This is where I didn't get that bored at the forensic evidence because they said, like, there was two different layers. At two kind of different angle, like the splatter was at different angles on the headboard. And so that's how they knew there were two shots.
Right.
And so obviously you're not going to shoot yourself twice.
Right. Say, whoops, and do it again.
Right.
Oh, he was convicted. Thank God. Cause he's the dumbest. And he had this ugly ass toupee on when he was on trial. Hideous. He got 25 to life, which still doesn't. I don't know.
25?
Yeah. That doesn't seem like a lot to desecrate a corpse and kill your spouse, clean up a sign, set up a sign. I mean, ish. What a fucking dick. Anyway, Happy New Year. What a terrible story.
Again, you're fucking her sister. Just pay.
Get a divorce.
Give her
nobody
the house
cares.
In the mountains and go live in San Diego on your boat then.
Right.
With Peggy.
Move to San Diego with Peggy.
Pay for it. And
nobody cares.
Fucking shoot poor Ruby.
No, the woman suffered enough.
She deserved.
Good God.
Yes.
Oh.
She deserved some happiness.
And her sister, what's wrong with you, you dumb bitch?
Yeah.
Ish. And you want Earl? This fucking gross pig?
No.
God, get your own man.
This whole story was
it was terribly disturbing. It was disturbing.
It was
hideous.
So Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. We do appreciate you listening to such terrible stories with us. I don't know why people are so terrible.
I don't know either.
I can't solve that.
If you think this story is completely disgusting, but you liked listening to us tell it, please give us a 5-star rating.
We would love it. And a review.
And a review.
On whatever forum
you
listen on. Is that the right word, too? I don't know.
Sure.
And join our Facebook group.
Yes.
Like us on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter. We have a Patreon if you actually want to help produce the podcast.
We have a Linktree.
Yes.
That kind of brings us all together.
Everything.
We have some stickers that Sarah designs. Thank you so much for listening.
I know. We appreciate you.
We really
Until next time,
bye.
Dear listeners. Bye-bye.